Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast, featuring not one but two sexy hosts. You got Roper,
I'm pretty hot,
and his Dahmer glasses, and you got me, who desperately needs a haircut.
Hey, don't even start with the glasses.
But they're definitely Dahmer glasses. You don't look like Dahmer, but you got the glasses.
No one would have said anything. Mm-hmm. If that show did not come out.
I mean, definitely, I feel like I've said it before.
I know, people have said lovely bones glasses, but...
Oh, yeah. No, that's when you shave your beard.
I promise you, I am not a serial killer.
He has not killed anybody, to my knowledge. No one yet. It could possibly happen.
I said no one yet?
No one yet. E-word yet. But, hey, are you guys feeling horny? Because I have a fantastic... Because I've had a fantastic interview with Cody from Millington.
I know, and I missed out because me and Hunter got into a little spat.
We got into a spat that day.
Pretty solid spat,
but
dude.
It's okay because we bounce back like we do all the time.
And you know what? We're still best friends.
We have only fought over the podcast. Yeah. And it hasn't been like a lot. It's because like we've been doing this for like what? A year and some change now?
Almost 2 years now.
We've only had like maybe two or three decent fights.
Yeah, it'll be 2 years in November.
In November. That's crazy to think about.
I know, it's wild. But like every time we're like Saiyans from Dragon Ball Z.
I thought you meant Comic Sans. Like the
No. Not Comic
like
Sans.
The font.
We're like Saiyans in Dragon Ball Z. Every time we fight, we fucking kill each other. And then we come back even stronger.
Even stronger than before.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that being said, Roper,
we're like Saiyans, and we're coming back.
Okay.
Even stronger every time we die.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just come back stronger, dude.
So much stronger.
We have Saiyan blood in us.
Okay. All right. Are
green
we ready?
Eyes, green eyes, yellow hearts, or yellow hair. Can't lose. Yep. Now we're ready.
Okay, great. All right, so now we have Cody from Millington.
Millington.
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
But I would have let you in.
Millington describes themselves as a brass emo band hailing from Albany, New York, with catchy guitar riffs, horns that knock your socks off, and vocals that bring tears to your eyes. Please welcome Cody, the bassist slash vocalist from Millington.
Hey. Well, I'm doing all right. I'm happy to be here. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. How many comparisons do you get from Roger, less than Jake, being the bassist and singer?
Ooh. You know what? Honestly, not as much as I would like. You know, I do. I love Roger. I think he inspires me a lot as a bassist because his hands are independent of anything he's doing with his voice. You know, but he'll be singing something totally different, and that's a huge inspiration for me. But I honestly don't get it that much. So if you're hearing this, anybody out there, please
please compare me.
Roger. Yeah.
No, Roger's like a huge. I mean, I don't play bass. I'm more of a guitarist. But sure. Like just watching him play on stage, it is a different world. It's crazy,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. He's great for sure.
All right, man. So I just wanted to kick this off with, are you ever offended when fans say that you're a ska band?
No, not at all. I think at this point, you know, we're all adults and it's 2022 and it like, you know, I was in ska bands all through high school and there was a period of time where we almost got like, I was in a band called Uncle Joel's Comb and, we almost got like shamed, like really? The real pop punk kids were like, oh, that's not like real rock music, to the point where we were like, I don't want to say like bullied into like changing our genre. Cause you know, we did end up doing like almost like a Day to Remember meets like horns band at some point. But like, yeah, no, at this day and age, you know, like I've always loved ska and I'm glad that like people are realizing that it's not like always a joke, like, you know, like I think you can be a serious band and be a ska band, or you can still be that kind of like real big fish party band and like, you know, very tongue-in-cheek. And people are realizing that there's a pretty broad thing now, and it's not just a mark of shame to be a ska band. I think you can still be a cool person. You can still be a pretty hip band. So no, definitely no offense taken. We definitely want to be with our ska people or anybody that'll listen to us. And yeah,
dude, I mean, like, I can't believe ska people got bullied because they were always the coolest people I knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But yeah, I think it was just like that kind of like on the tail end of like Wonder Years' fame, like that there was this era of pop punk where like, you know, every band was like the same, where it was like lead singer, guitar player, lead guitar player, bassist. They all had like the same guitar amps. Like it would always be like a wall of orange amps, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. then like it was always like a similar, like a drummer with that had like an endorsement, and it was always literally the same formula. And it felt like in the kind of underground scene that if you didn't match that kind of criteria, that especially, and you know if you're showing up with a trumpet or a trombone, you're definitely not matching the criteria. So you'd be surprised. Yeah, I feel like, you know, we're all in a sense, we're like are like lovable outcasts, you know, mm-hmm. for sure. But you know, I've always loved it. I've always protected it, and protect ska punk, protect pop punk, you know, like defend it. I'm definitely there.
Dude, I mean, I just think it's the most underrated genre of music that, like, I've been seeing more success from lately, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Did you always have the plan to have horns in Millington?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So basically, Millington has its roots because, again, I was in a ska band in high school, and we kind of split up. Everyone kind of went their own way. I moved away to California and came back, and I started it with the trombone player from Uncle Joel's Comb. So it was basically, we started as, you know, I was going to like handle the rock stuff, and John was going to handle like the horn stuff. And it was kind of like this, you know, a good excuse for me to make friends with or make music with one of my close friends who, you know, plays horns. So, it basically started with that kind of formula.
Gotcha. Okay. So when it comes down to, so you're saying that he handles all of the horn section parts?
Yeah, he did. He unfortunately passed away last year, but it's all good. Definitely shout out to John. Me and John started the band back in 2018, and basically it was that kind of thing where, you know, he was like super, super good with horns. And I really, like, I'd learned all that rock stuff and how to produce from Feldman coming back from, you know, when I was in California. And it was kind of like this meeting of the minds where it's like, you know, let's just see what we can do with this. I mean, it obviously ska bands exist, so this model can work. It kind of went from there.
So yeah. You worked with John Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
Love John Feldman. Love yeah. Goldfinger. Love a mm-hmm. lot of the production he's done as well. What's the biggest thing you learned from him?
Just kind of like it was definitely like a different world out there. And just like being in like a world-class rock and roll studio, you know what I mean? Like in an era where rock records are, I don't want to say they're dead, 'cause they're not. And he was definitely working with major labels, but it was such a weird kind of thing. 'Cause, you know, they were making records with, you know, real instruments and, you know, drum sets and recording everything and just like, it's cool to see that was still happening. That being said, there was like this LA sort of like new age music side of things that was definitely like different. So like it was, I think the biggest thing that I was kind of taking away is like his kind of attitude towards bands coming in. And like, it was almost like a lot of the times it wasn't always about the music. Like it was like, okay, like today we're going to go surfing or like today we're going to go, we're going to like do some like transcendental meditation or whatever the heck it's called. But like, so, you know, yeah, there was always like, you know, but the hours were super long. So there was always time to like record at the end of the day. Obviously the records were coming out, but there was so much stuff behind the scenes that was like, that went into like kind of getting on this, like, I don't know, like everyone's, you know, the same unit, we're all working towards the same goal. Like we're all kind of trying to get to this, this level of like synchronicity or this level of like synergy that we can like really make a record all together as a group. And I think that was really cool. Like, you know, like I've definitely recorded bands and just kind of like they've come in and, you know, I've done my best to produce, but it's a little bit different for me, 'cause I've never really had a chance to like take a day and like, let's all go to the spa or something, you know, as and let's make that like translate to our record or whatever. And I think it's cool that you not only had the ability to do that out there, but, he definitely did it, you know, and for bands big and small. Like, it wasn't always just Blink or like Sleeping with Sirens stuff. It was, you know, there were smaller bands like Dead or the band, they're called Make Out now, but back then they were called Trophy Wives. They were called Trophy Wives when they were making the record, but they ended up coming out as Make Out. Yeah.
Yeah, John Feldman's crazy. Like, just a little bit of research. It's fun. I actually did a school project on him.
Yeah,
and,
kind
of, like, digging into, like, everything he's worked on. Like, some of my favorite records. Like, some records I had, like, no idea that he had any, like, part of. I think, what was it? Like, there was a Hillary Duff? No, that wasn't.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah. No,
was it Hillary Duff?
He had two, like, I cleaned them. I cleaned his Hillary Duff plaques quite a bit. Yeah, that went, like, double platinum, and I can still see it. He had two. He had, because, you know, he had his wall, his plaques wall, and one of them was Hillary Duff, and I think, like, Ashley Simpson, too? He did something for her, but that was definitely an outlier. Like, you know, like, you're looking at the wall, you're seeing, like, Atreyu and, like, Black Veil Brides, a couple of those, and then just, like, this, like really young-looking Hillary Duff picture, you know? It's just like, yeah, and I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, that was back in the era where, like, you know, Kelly Clarkson and I mean, obviously, Pink has always done rock, but it was that kind of era where you could be like a pop star with a rock and roll backing track almost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, it wasn't just like it has to be pop. So, yeah, he's definitely got quite a plethora of catalog. Yeah.
Was that like after Avril Lavigne, like, did that happen, or was that like in the middle of it? But I feel like she was
Avril Lavigne
was
pretty
catalyst.
Early. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. She was, I feel like she was like 2001 or something, like Complicated, whenever that came out. It was like kind of like kicked off a lot of that sound. But yeah, for sure. There's a lot of diverse, for sure. You had a diverse catalog.
You were interning there, right?
Yeah, I was.
How'd you get that internship?
He had an engineer that I won't name names, but he had an engineer that went on to play for a large ska band, one of the probably, I don't know, the top three ska bands, if you could name them, it's probably one of them. And he went on to that ska band, and I would go to ska shows as a kid, and I would always try to meet up with all the members and this guy, you know. And this particular person was a horn player for, again, one of the larger ska bands, and I found out that he worked with Feldman, and we had some stuff in common, and, you know, we got to be friends, and eventually he got me the gig over there. So I, after college, moved out and did the internship thing for about 6 months, until I ran out of money to stay there and marbles in my head, because I think using your words, John Feldman is crazy. So, you know, no, I mean, it was for sure a demanding task, but
I guarantee it. I don't think I could hold up with it, to be honest. Like, I don't know. That guy's like a living, breathing legend. And then
he's
just a pretty eccentric dude from everything.
Type A, like, you know, like coffee in his veins. I got like a phone call from, actually, no, I got like, I want to say like 50 text messages or something. It was like 5 a.m. and I got like 50 text messages, and it was like basically a large, large task that, was laid upon me to do like the following day. But it was just like, oh my God, like, they're still coming, you know? Like, so I was the go-to guy for a little bit, which it makes me feel good in a sense, but, yeah, it was a lot on my psyche for sure. But, you know, again, not an experience that I would trade for the world. So
you could blackmail him into like having it open for Goldfinger. I feel like that's acceptable at this point.
It's, well, yeah, maybe we'll see. I'd like to get there on my own merit first, but if that doesn't
fair
work
enough,
out, maybe I'll turn to blackmail.
All right, man. So with all these instruments, like, what's the difficulties balancing them all when you are writing, recording, producing?
So that's an interesting question. Not one that I get a lot, but it's tough. I mean, like, when you think about like how dense an arrangement can get with just rock instruments, like, it can get already, you know, it can already be tough to mix something or like make it work, especially writing. And, you know, once you add horns, you kind of got to go into it knowing how they can work. Like, I feel like if somebody listened to our band and was like, I want to make a band just like that, I feel like the first thing they would do, the first challenge they would have is like, where do I put like these horns? And they would probably, I don't know, like, I've heard horns used in a lot of ways that I like don't really love. And I think you got to just know where to put the horns. Like, so I usually try to like leave open sections for them to play, or if they're going to play along with a vocal, to do something that enhances it and not like, you know, is something a totally different idea. Cause it's a melody instrument at the end of the day. So like how many melodies do you want going on? So I usually try to use horns to, you know, help the song and not detract from it. So you might hear a song by from us that like doesn't have a whole ton of horns in it, and just because like it didn't need it. And I we have horn players that are totally cool with that, which is great. You know, I feel awesome that they're not like, why isn't where's my sax solo or where's my trumpet solo? You know, like it's they're all really cool. So you know, it's great. Cause I feel like the converse of what we do, we're kind of like the opposite of Streetlight Manifesto in a sense where it's like, there's a great singer and songwriter, sure. But I feel like everything kind of revolves around the horns, what they're doing. Whereas in we're like the opposite, where it's like, I'll write a song and it'll basically be done before the horns are added. And then we like, what's the best way we can add to the song without like, you know, devastating it by adding too much. So,
okay. Perfect. Yeah. I think you answered a farther down question, so you might get a repeat here. But
cool.
So as like having this horn section in your band,
yeah.
Do you think it draws in a crowd that you weren't expecting, or did you kind of like know that this was the kind of people that were going to be showing up?
Well, I think it. You know, again, we like the ska label. I think we don't have like, you know, we're definitely not ska, pure ska, or even pure ska punk. But I definitely love seeing, you know, Scott, people who love Scott come to our shows and like, you know, dance in the Scott dance. And like, that's something that I always really enjoy, like about the Scott crowd, is that they're not afraid to, like, the people that are going to those shows are there to move around and dance. And I feel like, you know, if you go back to that comment I made about like pop punk bands in like the 2013 era, like those smaller shows, it would just be like a bunch of people with like their arms crossed and just bobbing their head and like kind of like almost like embarrassed to get into it. And I feel like in the Scott scene, that's never happened. So you know, I think that's something that like the horns add, is that even though we are kind of a pop punk band, you know, more so than ska almost, a lot of people come with that like, oh, like they're like ska adjacent, so I can get in there and I can dance and stuff like that. And I think that's, you know, just having horns is like awesome, you know, and it brings like a whole nother element to it. So
no, absolutely. That's what I love going to a ska show, is like a completely different vibe than going to pop punk show,
right,
or heavy metal show or anything,
right,
like that.
Right.
I am dying to see the day where like heavy metal brings in some horns and just see what people do in the crowd, you know?
It's like, yeah, and there's a couple groups like that now. I mean, it's not like commonplace by any means, but there's a couple groups that like have like breakdowns and stuff like that. I think there's a band called, I think, called Best of the Worst, maybe.
Best of the Worst. I haven't heard of them. I know Kill Lincoln has like some killer ass breakdowns. Yeah, but I don't know if I consider them like heavy metal or anything.
No. They're I feel like they're like new age ska punk through and through, if I had to label
absolutely
them.
Well, I mean, the best way I can look at it is like, well, is there upstroking in this in the music? Like, I know you guys don't have a ton of upstroking,
right exactly.
And then like Kill Lincoln has a little bit, and then like you go back to the classics where it's like, okay, Real Big Fish is fucking like upstroking the whole song,
right?
And then
exactly
does
exactly
as well.
Right,
so it's cool to see how music has evolved, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's, yeah.
I talk about it all day. I don't want to like just continually do that. What inspired you to do a cover EP, and what made you choose those specific songs?
So it started basically right when like COVID happened. Basically, you know, when the first like kind of lockdown stuff happened, you know, we had our record. We just put out Beatdown Generation at that point. And like originally, like way back, like before we had a band, it was like, I would do like the drums, the guitar, the bass, and John did the horns and stuff. But at this point, like I had kind of learned some horn playing, and I was like, well, you know, we got to put out content. We're all in lockdown. I haven't, like, I'm quarantined in a studio. I didn't really feel like writing a bunch of new material, because again, we had just put out Beatdown Generation. So I started with a cover of Vindicated. And then I did a cover of a Fall Out Boy song, which just happened to be my girlfriend's favorite song. And then we had two songs, and I was like, okay, like, this doesn't seem like we're going to be let out anytime soon, you know? So again, it was kind of born out of the whole COVID lockdown era. And you know, it was just a fun thing to do. It's pretty like eclectic in the sense that it's not all hits. Like, I feel like if you put out an emo cover EP, like the first records should have like Black Parade and like, you know, like, or, and like a Blink-182 song. And we just, you know, like we kind of just picked songs we liked.
There were some really random ones on there that I was like, for instance, Strangers was a pleasant surprise for me, because that may be like the only Trash Boat song I really, really love.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, amazing. Now it has horns, you know?
Yeah, who's
the female vocalist that did the cover of the Less Than Jake song with you?
She is the lead singer of Half Past Two, Tara. And she's somebody that I've been wanting to make music with for a long time. And you know, it was a lot of fun to do that.
Is she on other of your tracks? Like, I believe your newest one, Solo, had female vocals on there.
No, it was probably just me singing high. Oh, okay. no female vocals on there, no. No, she's actually only on that song, strangely enough. I could have sworn I've done some other projects with her that weren't technically Millington releases. But in terms of, like, official, like, collabs between our two bands, that's the only one.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, she was fantastic too. Like, that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
What song in your catalog is your biggest crowd pleaser?
Let's see. I want to say, honestly, it's probably Beat Down Generation, but the one worth talking about is kind of Let You In, which is interesting because it was never a single, but right now on like all of our streaming platforms and
stuff,
right, like
behind Beatdown.
Yeah. It's like, it's crazy. Like, that's like we put out Beatdown as like our single, but the fan single is probably Let You In. Like, that's, that one was found, you know, like people like, you know, scoped that one out and made it, you know, its own thing. So we never like pushed it in any particular way, but it's really, you know, that's like the people's single, you know, it's and you know, it's fast live. It's like, we don't have a ton of songs with like the double time punk beat, but that one does have it, and it also has like a four on the floor skanking section right after that for the ska dancing. And yeah, I honestly think that, you know, it's tough to play, but I think that's the one that people enjoy the most live.
See, that is definitely my favorite song. Yeah. I love Beat Down, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, I need more about you, baby. Come on. What bands have you played with that have absolutely blown your mind?
Let me see. Honestly, like, we haven't played a ton of shows, to be honest with you. Like, we played like four before COVID, and then
COVID.
Yeah, right. And then we got back together and did like, we've done like two since then. But I will say we played a show with Hans Gruber and the Diehards, and they were like absolutely wild live. They're a ska band. I'm not exactly, I think maybe they're from Texas. I'm not 100% sure, but absolutely like untethered and wild, and just like any like reservations I felt about, like, you know, what's going too far live. Not like, you know, like nothing crazy, but just like, oh, like, I don't know. They were just like very, very punk in their mannerisms. And I was like, yeah, this is what I should be doing. Like, this is what gets people's attention. This is like, this is a fun experience. So yeah.
Bite the head off of a bat, you will be known. That's all
right,
I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Did it. Right. Right. Well, there's no bats in attendance, but I can't say for sure whether or not they would have done it if there were. You know,
they're just crazy dudes.
Yeah.
Some people that like have this amazing stage presence that isn't planned necessarily. Mm-hmm. It just happens.
And
it's really easy to tell what bands like have to plan it out, which is absolutely fine. And it's still awesome. Sure. In its own merit. But seeing bands that like just naturally have this like groove on stage with each other, and like I saw some guy kick the bass player and he kept playing. I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll get there someday.
I believe in you guys. I'm hoping to see you guys do some tours soon.
Yeah, we want to.
So when writing music, do you try to hear all the instruments at once or slowly bring them in over time? I know you kind of mentioned the horns coming last.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I'm writing the music, I kind of write it, you know, usually like, I mean, it used to be like I would sit down with an acoustic guitar and that was kind of like the old formula. Nowadays, I kind of like try to program in drums and Pro Tools as I go. And, you know, I'm not starting out, you know, singing with a trombone or something, you know, it's definitely like still like an acoustic guitar and stuff. But, you know, I try to keep in mind what, you know, little pockets of areas where like the horns might come in, like, you know, if it's, you know, a long phrase, and I like try to, and I'm singing all the way to the end of the phrase, I might like try to end the phrase a couple beats early, so that way there can be like a little horn tag or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I definitely, there's been songs where I was like, I don't know, this song sounds pretty done, let's try to fit some horns in. But but like, I've tried lately, I try to be like, all right, we do have horn players in our band, and actually they make up half of our band. So you know, I think the best songs end up coming out of the like the sort of pre-planned, like, this would be a good spot for horns, so like maybe I won't add like a triple harmony and like four guitar parts, you know, maybe let the horns have a spot. But yeah, definitely most things start with kind of like the program drums, just to kind of get a layout, and then you know, guitar, and then, you know, bass will come after, and then horns. Yeah,
absolutely. So have you ever noticed that, like, when you're maybe not, maybe in the mixing stage, maybe before, but like if you had like a lead guitar, it's like mm-hmm. kind of taking the same frequencies as a lot of those horns, and they kind of like, this is a problem, like, yeah. This is a personal problem. I'm sure, oh, yeah. A lot of people don't care, but like, I thought that I you care. Might relate with that.
I really care. I do. This sounds like, so are you, so yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, not to get too technical for the listeners or whatever, but like the problem that happens with electric guitar, specifically like distorted guitar, is distortion is basically just exciting all of these frequencies above the fundamental, and it's just eating up space, right? So it's eating up space. So you have to be really careful with like how you want your electric guitars to sound, because it's basically just going to be like a wall of white noise. And like, you know, horns sit in that same spot other than like trumpet. So it's kind of tough, you know, you got to really plan on what you want to prioritize. And the reason I really like trumpet, even like we didn't have a trumpet player for a long time, but I would always record trumpet, because it kind of sits in its own spot. Like it's like the cymbals and the trumpet hang out in the same spot. So there's like basically nothing up there. And like, I can use that to kind of like let the horns below it be heard without like taking up the space of the guitar. Because yeah, again, guitar, like, I don't know, like there's a lot of different guitar tones for sure, but the ones that we like are kind of like these dirty, nasty, like, you know, take Blink-182 and add a couple more layers of distortion kind of guitar. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. It's all like, I want to learn all this stuff, and it's like, it's so, there's so much to, I don't think people understand that art that comes into like actually mixing songs, and like,
yeah. Oh,
even like pre-mixing, where you're like talking about tones, is like, you gotta be careful what tones you use. Yeah. Yeah.
Like picking, like having a good, like, I think we're at a point where like we have a pretty good like signal chain or signal flow, where it's like, I kind of have like these saved amps on my Kemper, and I like, I know where they are spiking and whatnot. So like, kind of know what keys they're going to work well with, and like where the horns will be able to sit, and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely, like, a lot of people take for granted like how hard recording is sometimes. Like mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, you just like point mics at it and boop, 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 and like it's done. But like, there's like, it really feels like a freaking math problem sometimes, where I'm just like sitting here and like notching out little EQ bells and stuff like that.
Dude, it's, I went to school for mixing, and like, I wish I hadn't, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, I just literally I added too, like a bigger issue of all of this.
Yeah. It really is supposed to be musical at the end of the day. And I think the problem with like going to school for it, I mean, I definitely endorse going to school for it, 'cause I went to school for music industry, but the problem with going, you know, it's like you take like this really, really like almost mathematical or like book heavy approach to something that's kind of meant to be felt. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of the tough part, where I had to kind of unlearn a lot of some of the stuff I learned at school. Again, a lot of that really helps me even today, but I did have to like kind of be like, all right, like, what do I want? Do I want to sit here and like figure out like the fundamental frequencies of every instrument and like the, you know, the fifth and the, you know, or do I want to like feel something? 'Cause that's what I want people to hear on the other side. I don't want people to be thinking about the chord structure so much, you know, or whatever.
I feel like there's a nice balance there. My teacher, or I guess I should say professor, was like, you have to learn the rules to break them. And I was like, I like that's a good line.
Yeah.
I'll write that one down.
Yeah.
So like, what other music projects have you been a part of before Millington or currently?
In terms of like being in music project, I haven't really been like in bands, but I've recorded you know, I've recorded a bunch for other groups. I did basically my homecoming EP or album when I came home from California. I did a record for the Waffle Stompers, who were like a big inspiration of mine. You know, I do a lot of the recordings that Christopher Escalante has put out. Definitely worth checking out his stuff, because I do a lot of mixing for him. I haven't met him personally because he lives across the country, but I did a EP for Divide by Zero, which is like a ska band. I do a lot of mixing projects and stuff like that. But in terms of, like, you know, I don't have a boxcar racer type project where, you know, sure. it's all Millington all day, you know.
So, I mean, as it should be at this point. Pretty great.
Yeah. Well, wait till we get that major label contract, and then I'll make a side project.
Now's the time.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So I have to know, and like I said, my favorite song is Let You In by you guys. Mm-hmm. What's the story behind it?
So, you know, at the time, I was kind of writing a lot of songs that were just kind of like, without particular meaning, just kind of like down in the dumps feeling, you know, I don't know, we're an emo band at the end of the day, but that particular song kind of took on like, it kind of does have a story, and it's honestly, it's kind of like a third party, you know, the singer or the storyteller is kind of like a third party witnessing sort of a like toxic situation, be it like, you know, domestic abuse or like just some sort of, you know, toxicity, and just like having someone that you want to protect, but knowing that it's not like your place necessarily. Like, you can't tell someone what to do. You can just offer them, you know, a spot at the end of the day. And that's kind of, you know, what that song came to be about.
Yeah. I like the perspective of it, because I feel like it's always like an AB kind of a situation. Yeah. And then having that third party kind of viewing everything, like the line, right. I would let you in is like, I don't know, I haven't heard something like that, so I really liked it.
Yeah.
And then which song was the most difficult to write and produce?
Honestly, actually, I do have an answer for this. I was thinking about Beat Down Generation, but it's nothing from Beat Down Generation. It's for, so far, it's Solo. The thing about Solo is that, you know, I felt like Beat Down Generation did pretty well, and I kind of put it up on a pedestal a little bit. Like, how am I going to beat this? And then a year goes by, and I'm writing. And another year goes by, and then like in the middle of all this like producing and like writing all these songs, we lose John, obviously. So like went through like kind of like a mini dark age for myself. But so I got like really, really critical and in my head about like, does this sound good? It's to the point where like, you know, all these songs that we've been working on kind of sounded like nails on a chalkboard, even though like, you know, the people I sent them to were saying it was sounding good. But like, to me, I like didn't have that kind of like reward system. Like, oh yeah, this is great. So I kind of had to like do some like some soul searching and like realize that, like kind of refine my value again before we put that song out. And, you know, I think now, honestly, when I listen to it, I think it's an accomplishment in the fact that, like, you know, it sounds really good. And it, you know, we finally put something out and, you know, people seem to enjoy it quite a bit. I mean, you know, we have even more songs coming, and I think they're going to do better and better too. But like just getting that out, and honestly, it was a challenge too, that it was like pretty different than everything we've written so far, in a sense, like kind of a different tempo, a different beat, you know, choosing where to go with the song. Like, you know, it started slow. Honestly, that song has so many different iterations from like this early era that it was just like, it was such a headache, but I'm really proud of how it ended up. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it all definite. Comes together very well.
Yeah,
like when everything's said and done, there's a lot of different parts that go into
I
really liked it. Like, Solo was, because I think I found you guys late last year, mm-hmm. or maybe midtime last year sometime, mm-hmm. and instantly fell in love. And then hearing, and then finally I was like, finally a new song, Solo.
Yeah,
and I'm
man,
there's a lot going on in this song.
There's a lot, yeah.
The longer I had to like digest it, the more I'm like, okay, now I can kind of follow along.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I think the problem with like, not that the song is problematic or anything, but I think the problem with not putting out music in a while, or like knowing that you have to one up something, is just like, it kind of takes away from like, like the groove a little bit, you know, like, and the kind of, so like, you know, as Beatdown Generation, like I was writing song. It was like boom, boom, boom. And like, you know, we didn't really have anything that we had to like necessarily live up to before. And I think like, if I can sort of detach myself from like the kind of expectations, like those like kind of songs that are easier, that kind of flow, and that there's no kind of like mental like block about them. Like, I feel like those always end up being better. Like, you know, I feel like, for example, like My Chemical Romance was on hiatus or broken up for super, super long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm glad they put a song out. And is it like Black Parade? Like, no, it's nowhere as good as Black Parade, but like, you know, it's the first step towards them kind of getting back into their groove. And I feel like that's kind of what Solo is for us, in the sense that, you know, I love the song, but I'm super looking forward to, just kind of the fact that it broke the ice for us and we can kind of be back, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't heard the new songs that are going to follow Solo. Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome to send them to me. But I'm confident. I think Solo is a great start to like a new chapter of Millington. Mm-hmm. And is this, I don't know if you could say this, is this going to be a part of a full length or maybe another EP?
I think it's going to have to be, like, we wanted it to be a full length like forever ago, but just between like the kind of highs and lows and putting the band back together, I think it'll be an EP, honestly. And we've got 5 songs that are almost done, and then, you know, we'll write one more, and then I think, like, you know, give it 3 months after that and we'll probably have, you know, a release, which we would love to do, like, you know, another vinyl, but it's just, yeah, as you may know, vinyl is just so impossible now, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
which sucks, because, you know, that's a huge, you know, seller for us, and it's an awesome thing to have available for people, but yeah, I don't know what's going on. They got to open some more vinyl factories or something.
I think, didn't like Taylor Swift or someone release these?
Adele new... or something, or yeah, like, I think it was Ed Sheeran or something.
Yeah, they're like, let's just take over this. And...
yeah, I think they like bought like certain, like there's, I guess like there's like lines, you know, like they have like, so if it's factory A might have line A, B, C, and D. And I think they like bought up like A through C at like a couple different or something like that, which is like, so mm-hmm. like all the dedicated, you know, everything gets pushed back super far.
Well, I've been seeing my favorite band's The Wonder Years. Mm-hmm. And I have watched, like, I knew they have had this record done forever. Mm-hmm. And it's finally just now to where like they could do pre-orders for the vinyl.
Yeah.
And then that's what decides whether or not they're going to release a record, because that's how they make their money.
Right. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
So it's been disappointing knowing this thing could have been out a year ago.
Yeah,
at this point,
honestly,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, that just like it's such a shame, because it's like, you know, there's certain big decisions we've had to make like around vinyl, you know what I mean? Like, and it sucks that's just like, you know, like obviously CDs are out. So, and vinyl in a sense is like, I mean, it's an antiquated medium at the end of the day, but it's novelty enough that it like makes sense to do, and like, you know, and it sells. So like, I don't know. I really
Set
hope
tapes,
that,
man. It's the future.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, honestly. Like, you know, if I might put out a survey or something and see what people say. Because, yeah,
I've
I mean,
more and more people start to, yeah. or bands, I should say, start to like give that out as an option. And I thought, I remember the first time I saw it and I was like, aha, what a funny joke. And then, but like, I keep seeing more and more people do it. There must be some Walkmans out there.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the thing, too. I mean, like, obviously, record players came back, like, you know, with a vengeance, like a couple years back. So, but I haven't necessarily seen the same thing for, like, you know, cassette players. I mean, honestly, I like, I had a cassette at one point in my house, and I like I called all my neighbors and like tried to, you know, couldn't find somebody that had a means to play it, and it took a while. So, you know, with that in mind, I certainly think it would be I don't know, hopefully, you know, I don't know, people let us know in the comments, what do you think? What do you think? Is it easy to play a cassette?
All right, Cody, so every single interview we like to do something we like to call the quick draw, where we ask random questions. You're just supposed to answer them as fast as you'd like. We'd like to keep it like upbeat so you don't have to think too hard about them, but if you want to take your time, feel free.
Don't let me ramble too much. I'm bad at I ramble, so just shut me up if I go too long.
we should never be on a podcast together, because I will do the same thing. All right, hit me with your favorite movie as a kid.
School of Rock.
Ooh, excellent choice.
Yeah.
What band would you want to play most with?
Blink-182.
Solid answer. Would you rather play a video game or watch a movie?
Video game.
Ooh, I like that. We're going to talk about video games.
oh, yeah.
What's the most difficult song to play live?
Solo.
Solo? Okay. What's the coolest piece of merch you own?
Um, Weezer threw out a pair of socks one time, and I caught it. Like, it was weird. It's like an Adidas sock, but it says Weezer on it. And I caught it after Rivers threw it. And I don't know. I always thought that was cool.
Wait, so you have like one sock? Like, not
No. I mean, it's a pair. It's a okay. I mean, I haven't worn them, so it might as well be one sock, I guess, but.
I see him framed in the back over there.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't you see?
Yeah.
Okay, who has the hardest job in Millington?
Literally everyone except for me, because they have to deal with me.
Okay. If you had all the money you could ever want, what's the first purchase you would make?
Oh, my God. I would probably just, like, literally blow it. Like, even if it was a infinite amount of money, I would just blow it all on like recording gear.
It's all not,
like, yeah, I don't know. The first thing I would do is get a Neve 33609 buzz compressor, you know, nerdy stuff. But yeah, no, it would be unruly. There would be stacks and stacks of audio gear back here.
Have you seen the documentary Sound City?
I have not.
Oh my God. No. Dude, watch it. You will geek out. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I would probably just get really jealous of all the nice studios and stuff. But I'll definitely check it out.
Do you believe in aliens?
I should, because my hero is Tom DeLonge. but I don't think so. No.
Okay. Yeah. There is a great podcast with Steve-O and Tom mm-hmm. DeLonge.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's fascinating. Highly recommend.
I got to check that out.
Worst pickup line you have ever heard?
Oh, God. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, I've seen so many of those like screenshots from like Tinder and stuff like that, but I just can't think of anything, you know. I have to pass for now. I'll write into the show, but I have to pass for now.
Solid answer. What is the best meal to pick up at a gas station?
Ooh. Let's see. Meal. I don't know. I'll go with fried chicken or something. I'm trying to think of what they would have at a gas station, but they probably have fried chicken.
Dude, I'm a gas station connoisseur.
Okay.
And in the Midwest, there's a gas station called Casey's. Has the best pizza.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. East Coast, I used to live in Pennsylvania, has Sheetz, which makes some damn good burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wawa has the best subs.
Mm. I've been to, Wawa is so good. I they're in New Jersey, they're not in New York, but whenever I go there, yeah, they're so good.
Love their, I used to live in Florida, and there was a Wawa right across the street from my apartment. So
no kidding.
Literally 3 days a week. I'd have to limit myself. I gotta stop. But anyway, Cody, that was my quick draw. I just wanted to thank you for being on the show. We always get time for you to promote anything that's coming up. Tell us what's going on in Millington.
All right. So Millington, boom. What are we doing? We are working on an EP. It should be out, I want to say, like, probably early 2023, unless the guys force me to push it into, it's going to be a little summery. So who's to say we might, like, you know, for marketing reasons, put it out, you know, and maybe get on the vinyl train or the cassette train or whatever, you know, I don't know. But we're doing that. We got a show coming. Well, actually, I don't know. When is this podcast coming out?
This will come out next month. I lied. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Well, we'll probably be done with our run of shows by then. But that being said, we're hoping to go on tour soon. So keep an eye out for us. Check out Solo, which is our most recent song. We talked about it in this very podcast. We have a video online on YouTube of us playing through it live that we put a lot of work into. So check that out for sure. And I want to say thank you for having me on the show.
Dude, absolutely. This was absolute joy. Thank you so much, Cody. Everyone check out Millington stream. You guys like have only like 30,000 monthly listeners. I'm like, that is not enough. We need way more than that.
What are you guys doing out there?
I know. Get your ass to Spotify and listen to Millington.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wow, Roper, you have not got to hear that. But I have. And it was a fun time. And Cody was really cool. We literally talked about video games for probably like upwards of at least a half hour.
You guys talked about Earthbound, which is one of my favorite games.
We talked about Earthbound. We talked about...
So good.
He's really into something like... I think he learned a lot of the Japanese that he knows from like playing Japanese video games, or it helps him or stuff like that. Okay. So we were talking about that. He loves Nintendo. It was a really cool conversation. Honestly, yeah, you and him would have got... Like, I actually saw one of his tours through like his one of his rooms where he... I don't know if it's just like in his apartment or whatever, but he has a ton of like Nintendo... systems and stuff like that. He was one of the horn players, or no, at least in the music video for Ice Nine Kills, when they did the It song that escapes me right now.
Okay.
So Cody's been doing some shit, and he's great. Like, absolutely fantastic.
Honestly, Millington is one of the most underrated bands that you'll ever hear.
They are, and they're coming out with new music soon. He teases it on his Instagram all the time.
I know, I've been seeing that.
So, all right, well, hey, we asked a certain question this week. What was that question?
Yeah, what underrated ska bands do you guys like? Or what ska bands are underrated? Super underrated.
Okay, what is it?
Whatever I posted. Doug said... Our best friend, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
He's the reason why we have an alien.
He is.
All ska bands. Super underrated.
What was it?
All ska bands.
Yeah. Every single ska band.
I put an L in there earlier.
And it was I thought you said all skull bands. I was like, excuse me?
Ska bands.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then my aunt, my Auntie Mimi,
mm-hmm.
She's the best. She rules. I showed her Turnstile, and she was ready to skank all over the house.
How do you skank to Turnstile?
Because they're a fucking, like, hardcore punk band.
That's not skanking, bro.
Skanking is, like, two-stepping to my aunt.
Okay.
But she said Selector, but many early forerunners, one of my favorite genres, never bound by trends.
Interesting.
Oh, that's pretty hot take, though.
Interesting. This question was... Wait, do we have more?
We have more.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
And then my dad said, Madness.
His family's Roper. Roper's family.
I know. We have Doug in my family. And then we go to Instagram, and I said, pick it up. Bet you'll never guess what our next interview is. Give us your answers. And then my friend Kemp said, nope, they're all right where they should be. He doesn't like ska music.
He doesn't like ska music?
Don't comment, Kemp.
Yeah, Kemp, get the fuck out of here.
Just kidding.
You silly boy.
Love you, Kempy.
All right, guys.
And then JPG, commenter, you just want to like get rid of the listener response.
I don't want to get rid of it. I just want to move on.
JPG, commenter, 1997, said, for the prompt, title holder.
Solid.
Solid ska band. The best of the worst, and stop the presses. Hands up emoji. Fire emoji.
He literally put his hands up for that too. So, okay. Yeah. Well, cool. There's a lot of underrated ska bands out there. And I highly recommend that you guys go and find them.
Check them all out, dude.
And Millington is at the top of the list.
I honestly think that ska is the most underrated genre that you will ever listen to.
Oh, it is.
It makes me want to dance all the time.
Yeah, it makes you happy, and then Millington can make me sad and happy all at the same time.
Both. Emo ska.
I love it. All
beep,
right.
Boop, beep, boop.
Should we get to the up-and-coming band of the week?
No.
We're going to do it anyway. Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social media. Now, Roper!
Uh-huh.
This week, we have Church Girls with their song, Basement.
Ooh.
Philly four-piece Church Girls write propulsive melodies and... achingly vulnerable lyrics. Sorry, I haven't seen that as descriptions. I love it. Wrapped in the throbbing anxiety of most punk and joyous aggression of pop punk. Formed in 2014 by Merrill Belmont, the group has toured extensively across the US, UK, Canada, and Europe, and been featured at Audio Tree, KEXP, Stereo Gum, Bandcamp, New and Notable, and more. So they got quite the rep sheet.
Quite the rap.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they want to fuck with us, dude?
Who knows, but I'm going to tell the story about this song here, the story Basement. Yeah. We started working on Still Blooms after our tour was cut short due to the pandemic. Basement was written at what felt like peak isolation. The song is a reminder to myself that life is short and not to be wasted away. Our guitarist Mitchell had been sending me tons of instrumental ideas, and when I heard this one, I knew it had to be included. I went through endless drafts of lyrics and vocal melodies because I wanted to do justice to what he'd written. It was very collaborative. Julian suggested adding trumpet and ending the song with just the two guitars, and Vince wrote one of my favorite bass lines. The song feels to me like it oscillates between despair and triumph. We're all really proud of how this one turned out. So Roper, you have one job. Let's hear it.
Let's kick it.
Roper!
Hey!
What'd you think?
That's pretty nice and pleasant.
It was a pleasant tune.
Nice, pleasant song.
She has a fantastic vocal. She is a fantastic vocalist.
Yeah.
There we go.
When you hear Church Girls, you think it's like an ironic or like weird name.
But yeah, I think it would be some heavy punk.
Mm-hmm. They actually have a girl in their band. Nice and chill, dude.
It was a very nice, catchy melody. I liked it. I feel zen.
You feel zen?
I feel pretty zen, bro.
You sound pretty sick right now.
I am a little sick too, but that is beside the point.
Yeah, sick 2 weeks in a row, bro.
It's fucking been trash.
Yeah, I'm sure, dude.
Want to hear a cough? Yeah, it wasn't even a good one.
I haven't even burped this episode, dude.
I know, it's fucking depressing. All right. Church Girls has 2,160 monthly listeners. That might be one of our highest ones.
Pretty solid.
But I think they totally deserve those monthly listeners.
Absolutely.
And they're a fantastic little band. I love them.
So good.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. That was a part of the song. Anyway.
Yeah, it was.
If you guys want to check out Church Girls, please do. They have a lot of good songs. Yeah.
As a reminder, you can find our Linktree on any and all of our social medias. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere. That's on Instagram, Hunter. That's on Facebook. That's on Twitter. And more.
And more?
Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show grow!
Jesus Christ.
Every single song you heard today is on a Spotify playlist. You also can find a playlist of our up and coming bands from each season, as well as our Pop Punk Emo Supremo picks, which I curate weekly.
Weekly.
I try. Mm-hmm. don't forget to check out our new show.
Pop Punk Emo Supremo News.
Pop Punk Emo Supremo News. We have a September.
We're not releasing it.
We're not going to release it?
Okay, nope. We're going to start off with a solid October. The whole monthly news of October. And maybe we'll sprinkle in some September stuff.
It's fair enough.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah, check out that for upcoming monthly releases, tours. Announcements and more.
And more. I like how you even sound confused about it. We haven't done it much.
I'm so
like,
fucking confused about it, to be honest.
It's okay. We're going to get there. It's not going to be a biggie deal.
It's
but
right. We'll get there.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. Yeah. I absolutely love talking to Cody. I'm sure that Roper will regret it for the rest of his life.
Yeah, we were kind of like shitty towards each other. So
it's okay. We've moved on and apologized. Still friends, and we love each other.
Still friends.
And you know what that means?
Hot takes?
What do you got?
Dude, it's kind of
be careful.
I feel pretty solid without any hot takes, but I've got a... I don't know.
Give me a quick hot take.
Quick hot take. I'm going to be honest, dude. Like, Burger King fucking sucks,
dude. And a ripoff, dude. I went there...
Ripoff, dude.
I went there yesterday, and it was like $26 for two meals. And one of the meals I didn't even order.
Dude, I get heartburn and then I get food poisoning every time I eat it.
You know what I got?
Their chicken is awful.
I just got depressed.
You got depressed?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I have an immense amount of depression now thanks to Burger King. And will I be, you know, pursuing legal options? Potentially. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I get sick every time I eat Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
Only two times I've ever had food poisoning. Burger King.
If you are in Iowa, Bebop's is the only burger joint to go to.
Only option, dude.
Only good one, at least. And you got McDonald's, which is like for like that sad like 1 a.m. drive kind of a thing. Like,
did I ever tell you that I drove into a Burger King?
What?
No, I ran right into a fucking canopy.
You're lying.
Swear to God.
A canopy.
Last job that I had?
Yeah.
I was driving like an 11-foot tall truck.
And you drove it into a...
Drove right into the Altoona one.
Oh, my God.
You'd never heard this story?
No.
All right. Hot take, bro. I was just like having a terrible day talking to like this girl who was no good for me.
No good.
And then like having a bad day. And I was like, you know what? I just need some Burger King breakfast. And so I go through, like, you know how they have the yellow, like, barriers up top?
Yeah.
And they say 11 feet. So, like, they just moved with my truck. And so, like, I just kept going anyways. I'm like, oh, this is weird. And then, like, when I went to order my food, I spun the whole fucking, like, you know where the, like, the actual, like, voice thing is where you, like, take your orders?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have this canopy on top, which was, like, scraping the top of my truck. And, like,
oh, my God.
This is terrible, dude. I should get out of here. And then I was like, okay, when I get my food, I will literally
And you off. Still got the food?
I will literally pull off to the side and get out of my truck to get food. So I tried that, but I literally just like ran right into it. Dude, loudest noise ever. This lady fucking like jumped. I saw her feet from the fucking like food window.
So did you get your food?
I got my food, dude.
Did you get in trouble?
No. Insurance is a hell of a thing, dude.